I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, as we read verses 24 through 30. If you don't have a Bible with you, in the Pew Bible, it's on page 874. Mark 7, 24 actually through 37. Our focus is through 30, but we'll read through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Can you believe it? This Jesus has actually gone into a house in Tyre. If he's such a great teacher and rabbi, if he's truly a prophet and a man of God, he would know that this is not a proper place for a Jewish man of good repute to be. Maybe he's not the person we've heard that he is. Or so the words might have been spoken by any number of persons on this particular day recorded in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus was of Jewish descent. His disciples were predominantly of Jewish descent. And for a Jew to enter the house of a Gentile was not really kosher. And I did intend the pun. But to enter the house of a Gentile in Tyre, a Tyrian, was much worse than just going into any Gentile's house. You see, Tyre had originally been an island, and it had to import all of its produce, much of which came from Galilee. In times of famine, wealthy Tyrians, as they were called, would send over to Galilee and would actually buy the bread, sometimes right off the tables of Jews. They would offer enough money and sometimes go house to house if they needed it. And the bread was already set, and they would offer enough money because they were wealthy enough to actually take the bread off of the table. And sometimes we have records where there were famines and the king ordered people to sell their bread to the wealthy Tyrians. Now later on, there was a causeway built, so Tyre was not always an island. Josephus even places, that Jewish historian, even places the Tyrians in his writing against Appian. He says that the Tyrians are among the Jews' bitterest enemies. End of quote. And oftentimes, you know, we talk sometimes about Jews and Samaritans being referred to as dogs. Oftentimes, the Tyrians were referred to by Jews as dogs, but not house dogs. There were two different words. One was for a house dog, which would lie under the table and would be in the house. The other was for a yard dog. And the yard dogs were kind of like the lowest form of dogs. And so oftentimes the Jews would refer to Tyrians as yard dogs. But here, Jesus is going along with his disciples. He's tired. He's hungry. And you know, Jesus didn't always do what the authorities thought he might ought to do. And he happens to be in the area of Tyre, and he goes into the house of a wealthy Tyrian. He's very hungry. He's slipping through the streets. And Jesus actually tries to be very discreet, we're told here by Mark. He tries to slip in unnoticed. But it's kind of tough at this point for Jesus to go unnoticed. Word spread quickly wherever anybody spotted Jesus. And so we're told that the word spreads rather quickly as to where he is. And as one writer notes, and I quote, "It spread most quickly upon those or among those who were the most needy in the area." End of quote. Over and over again, we will find, especially in the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus would go and he would heal somebody, and then he would go toward a city, and there were people waiting on him already before he even got to the next town. He couldn't enter a town openly. In fact, after healing the leper in Mark chapter 1, and he tells the leper, "Don't tell anybody who did this," he goes and tells folks, and then the verse says, "And he was out in the country, for he could not openly enter a city." And so here Jesus is tired. He's hungry. And he and his disciples slip into this house in Tyre. And so we find then the neediest find out. And the author says, I continue the quote, "The neediest person isn't always the hungry or the homeless, the cheater or the one robbed. It isn't even necessarily the sick one. Oftentimes the neediest person of all is the parent of a sick or dying child. If your son or daughter is vulnerable, you will do anything to bring healing and relief. You will give up your own life for the life and health of your children." End of quote. So, we come to this story and Jesus enters this house. And word spreads. And immediately we find the neediest character in the area arrives. Enter the Gentile woman, who actually is a widow. And the only family member she has is her young daughter. Her young daughter has a very terrible sickness. And she comes in risking, first of all, she shouldn't be in there either, in the house of this wealthy Tyrian, this Gentile widow, the Syrophoenician widow. But she comes and she bursts through the door and immediately finds Jesus and falls at his feet, putting herself at his very mercy. Why? Because this mother's daughter is sick and potentially dying. Any thought of herself and her own dignity, what little she might have, goes right out the window because her child is sick. And immediately we're told that she begs Jesus. I'd like to paraphrase here maybe what she was saying or how she said it. "Please, please help my daughter. She's dying. A demon has her and she's dying. My poor, precious, sweet little girl. Oh, please. Please, if you can do anything, release her. I know you can. Please." Everyone's standing around aghast. The disciples are probably horrified. They were upset, I'm sure, anyway, because he went into a Gentile house. But now you've got a Syrophoenician woman there at his feet, and I guarantee you she wasn't just kneeling there. I guarantee you she was touching his feet or touching the hem of his robe, begging him. Have I mentioned yet she's a Syrophoenician woman? About four times already. And what does that mean? She was a Gentile woman who was born in the southern province of Syria. And Syrophoenician was a very pejorative term. It evoked disgust. If you thought that the Tyrians were yard dogs, Syrophoenician was a wild dog in comparison. Syrophoenicians were considered among the lowest of the low, not just by Jews, but even some of their fellow Gentiles. And so here we've got not just a Gentile woman, but a Syrophoenician woman, a wild dog in the eyes of the Jews, who comes in. I'm sure the disciples were so shocked, they couldn't even move. And Jesus looks at her and lovingly and says, sure, I would love to do that for you, my dear, right? No. No. He responds rather in a rather surprising way, we might think, for Jesus, who we think gentle Jesus, meek and mild. As my friend and former colleague, Alan Culpepper, writes in a commentary on the Gospel of Mark, I quote, Jesus then says the most shocking thing attributed to him in any of the Gospels. Let the children, that is the Jews, let the children be fed first. It's not fair to take the children's bed and throw it to the dogs. End quote. By the way, the word for dog here is the yard dog. What a scandalous remark. I thought Jesus loved everybody. But perhaps what we need to understand is Jesus is testing this woman's faith and speaking in something of a code. And testing her fortitude. The woman responds. She's not only distraught, but she won't take no for an answer at this point. She's so worried about her daughter. And she responds in an interesting way when she says, yeah, but even the dogs, and guess what? The word there is the word for a house dog. Even the dogs under the table get to eat the children's crumbs. If you were to do a literal translation from the Greek text, it might read something like this. Lord, even the little dogs under the table eat the little crumbs from the little children. Bless you. Even the little dogs under the table eat the little crumbs from the little children. By the way, interesting sidelight. This is the only person in the Gospel of Mark that addresses Jesus as Lord. He's called other things in the Gospel of Mark, but this Syrophoenician woman is the only person in the Gospel of Mark that addresses Jesus as Lord. But you know, the bread's meant for the children, right? And yet, we know that children of various ages, whether they're little or whether they're older, sometimes aren't the neatest eaters, are they? And so she understands. She understands that while the bread is meant for the children, there are always crumbs that fall to the floor for the dogs under the table. And the dogs are allowed to eat these crumbs. In fact, these crumbs help to sustain them and to sustain their life. And so this woman, who already is creating a scandal by being there near Jesus, goes even further by not taking no for an answer and feeds off of what he says and responds for her daughter's sake. But even the little dogs get to eat the little crumbs. this point, Jesus looks at this mother and he declares to her the good news. The good news of great joy for all people. For your saying this, you may go on your way in peace. The demon has left your daughter. Her faith is contrasted with that of the disciples and the Pharisees, who were horrified and who sought oftentimes their own. Her persistent faith, her persistence on behalf of her child with Jesus, is rewarded for her sake, but even more importantly for the little girl for whom she risked much at her own expense. And she goes home and finds her daughter healed. And this mother celebrates with her little girl. Jesus then moves from Tyre towards Sidon. And he heals a deaf man who has a speech impediment, a deaf, mute man. But one who didn't come to Jesus of his own, but was brought to Jesus through the persistence, the determination of others. And so what we find in these stories is a call to be determined. Not that we determine the call, but to be determined in the way we approach God. Showing that faith, being determined on behalf, not just of ourselves, but even more importantly, on behalf of others. All of us need to be determined in such a way. But yet here today, I want to remind and also thank all of those who have been determined to be a mother to children in need, whether our own children in our own families, or those children for whom you serve as the meaningful mother in their lives. We see them everywhere. Sometimes in classrooms, sometimes in churches, sometimes in the neighborhood. And we respond in a determined way by teaching, by caring, by listening, by loving. And so thank you to all of those ladies who mother those children who are in such desperate need in so many different ways. And may God continue to give you the strength, the fortitude, the courage to be determined when sometimes it would be easier to turn and walk away. Determined to share that love which God places in a special way within you, that others may come to know the good news, which is for all people, that God's love and care and healing are for all. Bless you. If you would, take your hymnal and turn to hymn 583. In a few moments, we will come to table to remember the love that Jesus experienced at the hands of His mom and others, and the love that Jesus gave and continues to give so that we might share it. As we stand and as we sing number 583, "You are my all in all," may that truly be our prayer. May that truly be our desire as we come to table. Hymn number 583, "You are my all in all."